This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
One more sleep, one more wake up, one more day until the madness is here. Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Greg behind the glass, Falara on the updates, and it is Tournament Eve, John.
I know. It's just a day away before we'll have to have an emergency Stoney or Rieger or whoever it is fill in because you'll be, quote-unquote, sick. If trends hold, and I'm not sure 1 year makes a trend, but
I am on notice.
You're on notice. Yes.
I got to make sure that
if you for any reason have to call in sick tomorrow or Friday,
I'll be hearing that's a cough, John.
Yeah,
starting to feel.
That will be an epic moment for the show. Guarantee you, epic moment. Yes, one sleep away.
We did have the play-in games last night. North Carolina, despite the fact people didn't want them in the tournament. They will be in the field of 64. They'll be playing in...
They spanked San Diego State.
Yeah, that was not close.
No, it was 47-23 at half. The game was over.
Much more dramatic in the battle of 16 seeds. St. Francis goes down to Alabama State in the final seconds of that game.
68-68 with just over 3 seconds. Full court pass. No one catches it. It bounces around. All of a sudden, one of the Alabama State players grabs a hold, throws it up with, and I can't remember what the time was left, like 0.7 seconds left on the clock to seal the victory.
You were listening to Doug and Gator yesterday talk about St. Francis, PA, and the story that is St. Francis, PA. They go down at the buzzer, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Their coach has been there 29 years. Player, assistant coach, head coach. First time that St. Francis of Pennsylvania has gone dancing. And they were a tournament team.
Were they, though?
The debate yesterday was, and this is one, and it's weird what you get triggered by, is Gator said, well, they're not a tournament team. And Doug was, yes, they are a tournament team. Because they're playing the play-in game. They're not in the field of 64.
John, what are they playing into? They're playing into the tournament.
Was this game on their schedule when they started the season?
This is a postseason game, but it is a play into the tournament game. And they did
win their way. You're really going to take this side.
I'm going to take Gator's
side. You're such a dork. Yesterday, 2 Grand Slam. How many teams are in the NCAA tournament? You didn't have that debate yesterday, did you, Mr. Costa?
Tom wrote the question. I didn't write the question.
You didn't have an argument with it yesterday.
I wasn't going to take the money out of the guy's pocket.
68, and it was there. We read it pre-show. There was nothing that you said that said, you know, hey, well, I don't really think that this is a legitimate question because the answer is not right. You didn't bring it up yesterday. Now all of a sudden, oh, they're not in the tournament because they lost last night, the play-in.
I think it's the same in the NBA too, by the way. If you make the play-in, but you lose your one or two game little deal.
Greg got triggered.
Greg?
You are factually wrong on this, Costa. Oh. It is the field of 68. Alabama State has a tournament win. It is counted as a tournament game. It is not officially designated the play-in round. That's what is commonly referred to by the public. It is officially designated the opening round.
Opening round
of the NCAA tournament.
They also call it the first four.
And by the way, you know what? You know what the pushback is of why people don't want to call this a tournament game? Because it doesn't count towards people's brackets. What did you argue a couple days ago, Jim?
I'm not filling out a bracket.
Brackets are for boomers. Yeah. Brackets are old. Brackets are done.
Boom! Factually.
I feel like I just got tag team wrestled here, pinned to the ground.
Greg just brought out the paddle and put
steel
you in your place.
There we go.
And you are right about the NBA, though. The play-in tournament is not referred to or not considered a playoff game for the NBA.
So I'm right in the NBA, wrong in college.
Correct. Yes.
Take that.
50-50 to start the show. Try to do better than that, but it's not a bad start. Hey. What do you guys think? Like, St. Francis, PA, they are in the tournament. Did they make the tournament? They lost last night. They won't be in the field of 64. They won't get a 116 matchup.
Well, there's a lot of teams that won't be in the field of 32.
Sure.
A lot of teams that won't be. There'll be 16 more that won't be in the field of 16.
Why aren't you making this case for San Diego State? You're afraid of Brian Dutcher?
Yeah, I'm terrified. Hey, Aztecs, you didn't make it either. You lost the play-in opportunity.
They lost in the first four.
Yeah. They lost. So did the Wings last night.
When the Wings start, like, that's kind of the reaction I have watching the entire Wings game was just like, okay, the Caps score. Oh, man. Caps score again. Oh, man. It just, you could see it just melting away. And now three back of the cut line, it's gone.
It looks like the Wings aren't going to be making the opening round, the play-in, or the playoffs, or whatever you want to call it, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well done. Yeah, you know what made it so much worse, too, though? It's 1-1 going to the third period. You're like, you know what? It's hockey. It's weird. Maybe they find a way to win tonight on the road, finish what they should have done against Washington last time. And while you're in this 1-1 hockey game, it was well documented they needed some help, and they were getting it. Calgary was beating the Rangers. Right at the time, Montreal was losing to Ottawa. And you go, oh, okay, John, there's a world where the Wings eke out it could be a garbage goal in the third period. Win 2-1, and we wake up, and they're back in the playoffs at least for a day.
Uh-huh.
And even with some help that they were getting, you have to win. Like, you can't count on anybody else. You have to find a way to win these hockey games, and it snowballed. And McClellan even said it after the game. He goes, hey, 1-1, we go down 2-1, that's going to happen. He was mad that they went down 3-1. Because he thought that was a bad goal. They got beat up the ice. Now they're down 2 goals. There's 3 goals before you know it. They can't even pull their goalie to try to mount a comeback. It's a flat finish to that hockey game. And I do wonder, and this is something that we should talk about if it keeps going south, wouldn't it be better to call Kosa up? Like, it's one thing if you say, hey, he's 22, it's a playoff race, maybe not the right time to drop him in. But if you're not making the playoffs and we get 8 to 10 games to go in the season, wouldn't you throw him up to get his feet wet a little bit?
Yeah. See, I mean, give him experience at this level. He's already got one win. I mean, he's already got some experience. You've already done it. If they hadn't already done it, then you could be like, well, okay, let's just, you could make an argument for just bring him up next year. But if you're not going to be in the field of 16 and you're a team that just, you're trying to figure out, as a general manager, what are you going to do next year? And yes, there is more things that can happen in the offseason, and there will be more things happen in the offseason. But if you're trying to evaluate, is a guy ready? What better way to evaluate him than see him at that level?
So some people think it's unfair to compare him to Andre Vasilevsky. The reason he is compared to him is that's a goalie Yzerman drafted in the first round in Tampa.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky, at this same age, was playing 50 games in a season in the National Hockey League. By 23, the age Kosa will be next year, The guy was standing on his head is one of the top goalies in the sport.
Well, now, I think comparisons are unfair.
Fine. My point, though, is it's not unheard of that a first-round goalie who's about to be 23 years old would be playing National Hockey League games. It would be normal. You wouldn't be unnecessarily stunting his development. I'm not saying he should be Vasilevsky today. I'm saying it's not unheard of to play that guy in the National Hockey League at this stage of his development. He's played AHL playoffs. He's logged games at the AHL level. I understood the idea, hey, we're in a playoff spot or we're within a game of a playoff spot. We're not throwing it in the hands of a 22-year-old unproven goalie. But if they get 3, 4, 5, 6 points back and they have 3, 4, 5 games left, wouldn't it make all the sense in the world to call him up and say, let's see what he's got?
I'd even like to see him at home. All right, because I know that they play Dallas as their final home game, but there's a stretch there where, you know, the final 6 games, they've got 5 on the road. Why wait till then? Because I mean, by the end of this road trip, Vegas, Utah, Colorado, I think they're not going to be mathematically eliminated, but I think they will be practically eliminated. Yeah. And so if you're just looking at it in terms of practicality, you got Ottawa, Boston, Carolina, Florida at home. And if St. Louis on the road in there, at some point in that 5-game stretch, bring him up and allow him a chance to play at the LCA, allow him a chance to then go on the road. And maybe you want to see him against Montreal or Florida or Tampa. And then you got another one home against Dallas. Like there's opportunity there. And why not make it easy or at least easier for him to make that transition? Give him every advantage possible.
Yeah, because maybe he builds some confidence in the final stretch run of the season here, which sets him up to be a franchise goalie. I mean, that's what you draft a guy in the first round to be. And if he struggles, I think there's this fear, oh, it's gonna shatter his confidence. Well, then he might not be a franchise goalie anyway. If 4 or 5 bad games ruins him, better to figure that out sooner rather than sink more time into him.
I think he'll come up and do just fine. Sure. I don't think he's going to get ruined. And even if they all end up in losses, I mean, are we sitting here and blaming all of the losses on the goalie?
No. I don't even know if last night's necessarily on Mrazek.
Right. But in terms of, as I think more about it, you know, the home games, they're not going to be home games for him.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't have residence here. It's not like he's going to stay at home and then go to the LCA and then go home. Like it's going to be still a relatively new environment for him. So maybe it doesn't matter at all. It's just the fact that you have more fans in the stands wearing red and white versus, you know, being on the road for anybody else.
It's just a consideration because they're going the wrong way. Wings lose. They've lost 7 of the last 10. If you got thoughts on Kosa or thoughts on last night's play-in games, we'll knock out some ticket texts and phone calls.
First four.
6:35, a Mel Mock and a question. Should the Lions take this risk? If he's falling, is he falling into our lap? It's 97.1.
Hey, FanDuel is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball through the first 2 rounds of the tournament. Bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you're going to win a share of $1 million in bonus bets, and that's an upset you don't have to be upset about. And maybe you want to take a look at the ones. Who is the 16 that can upset a 1? The 15-2. Always seems like maybe there's one. Pick your one. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tournament. You can bet on everything from spreads to money lines and team totals. There's so much to enjoy and have fun with. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day because in March, anything can happen. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Winning pre-live money line wager on lowest seed required. Each $1 million jackpot to be split equally among all eligible winners. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable but expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ken Cal's call, Wings lose.
Ow.
I was right. 7 of the last 10 they've lost. This playoff race, not much of
Gone.
A race.
Yeah. It's March. It's March in the D. This is what the Wings do year after year after year.
They do say it's March Madness.
It's
driving us mad.
It is. It's painful. It's infuriating is what it is, because you're so close and you've been in that position. And this year, it's, I don't know that this year hurts as much as last year did. Last year, they had a sizable advantage going into March, and it took longer to dwindle away. This was more in your face, and it was more... The teeter-totter was more level.
Yeah, last year, the final game of the season, you could at least go and sit on the couch and think, if this breaks right, we're in. Yeah. And that doesn't feel like they're going to be there this year.
No.
And we've slowly...
Which is why you bring up Cosa.
Agonizingly gotten there. Yeah, and that's the question here. And it's not some four-hour discussion, but it's just a light bulb moment. All right, if you're not in a playoff race, and if they're not chasing a playoff spot here in a week, why keep Cosa in the minors? He's a 22-year-old goalie, be 23 this fall in November. It's time. You throw him up for 5-6 games, he shows some confidence, gives him something to work on in the summer, sees how he matches up at the National Hockey League level, and he could still play in the AHL playoffs this year if they're so keen on getting him postseason experience when the Red Wings season ends. I don't know why they would hesitate to do that. But they have three goalies now because Steve traded for Peter Mrazek. And Peter Mrazek had been one of the worst goalies in hockey since December 1st. Surprise, he's not the savior. He's not going to fix this situation. He's not the source of all problems either, but it's an odd Band-Aid to place on this team. It wasn't like they went out and added a real goalie. Their real goalie is Sebastian Cosa whenever they get him up to speed. start the process now if you're not making the playoffs.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that you would just like to see if there were, you know, in air quotes, injuries?
Well, the one we were excited about was Carter Mazur, and he got hurt.
Right.
Sucks his whole family was there. Felt like anyone who's ever met was at that hockey game. There's Mazur jersey everywhere, and he got hurt, and he's probably not playing this year. No, I mean, that's the other name is Axel Sandin Pelikka.
He is. I heard he was stateside.
Well, that's the thought here is when he's done playing hockey in his Swedish season, is he'll come to North America. Now, is that with the Griffins or is that with the Red Wings? But he is as prolific a defenseman as we've seen at his age group ever. And that's an Yzerman pick. So if you want to like hang your hat on, hey, the one thing Yzerman does is he drafts well. And most of these guys like Casper and Edvinson and Sider and Raymond all look pretty good. All right, well, let's get on with it then. If I have to endure another season without the playoffs, at least show me that I got guys on the way that are getting valuable NHL experience.
And so that's really kind of where I think you're at with the Wings is what will this team look like next year? And who's going to be here? Who's not going to be here? And if you have a chance to look at Kosa or Sandin Pelikka, like at some point, just give the fans a little peek. And so we could be excited about something.
And I don't think we're putting these guys out to slaughter. I mean, they're young hockey players who are itching for opportunities.
Right. And I think there needs to be enough credit given to Red Wings fans that if Kosa comes up and he were to lose three games, because the Wings lost three games while he was in net, we're not going to sit there unless they're 7-0 losses and he
his save percentage is
70%.
But
like, don't think that's going to happen. And I think we have enough IQ to look at it and say, all right, hey, he got his shots.
It depends who you talk to. A lot of us don't know puck because this is what it's supposed to be. This is how long it takes. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Lions coming up at 6:35. We have a Mel Kiper mock. Should the Lions take this risk? If he's falling, is he falling into our lap? There's a player with some question marks, and Mel says that's the move for the Lions. First, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the NASA astronauts who were stuck up in space for more than 9 months returned to Earth on Tuesday.
This was so awesome. Welcome home.
I'm sure they were very, very excited to be on the ground.
Yeah.
Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams unlocked from the International Space Station. They boarded the SpaceX capsule alongside two other astronauts, and then the capsule parachuted down into the Gulf of Mexico just before 6 p.m. The Gulf of Mexico. Oh, I'm sorry.
The Gulf of America.
Excuse me. Yes. Just hours after they departed the International Space Station. Pretty darn cool. I didn't see it. I know, John, you watched it and said it was actually really cool.
It was so cool. And it's the thing of imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Of somebody being in outer space and then you see this comet coming to Earth and then they're doing the play by play, which was it was informative and was somewhat entertaining. And it was, they're talking about the dragon and the names are cool. Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, hey, they put it on the ship and they set it in the dragon nest. It was just really cool to be able to watch and experience. And by the time the astronauts were coming out of the capsule, I had to take Jack to a workout. So I had him hold my phone. We're still watching it because he wanted to see the astronauts actually emerge.
Yeah.
It was just good.
That it was really entertaining. Now, they were only supposed to be there for about a week. So this was a huge issue. All these issues popped up. They spent 286 days in space. They circled Earth 4,576 times. They traveled 121 million miles by the time of splashdown.
I don't know we've talked about this before when, the whole Elon Musk thing and the people that have paid money to go straight up and straight down.
Yep.
If it became normal enough, and it was financially not an issue, would you guys want to go up and spend any time in space?
If it has been done enough and I feel safe doing it, yes. I'm really scared. Like, the whole idea scares me a little bit. But for sure, if I felt like
there was an extra seat on the dragon, I would have gone up just to, you could have gone into this, the capsule, you could have gone to the space station, back, floated around a little bit.
You're saying it gets normalized enough to where it's like a Cedar Point ride? Yeah, sure, it'd be fun to go up and do it.
I want to see this. I mean, I think you know, better than a Cedar Point.
Well, it'd be
ride.
Clearly better. I'm just saying to the point where it becomes so like, oh, anybody does
Anyone
it, you're fine.
It.
You go up, you go down. Clearly, it would be more, like incredible than a Cedar Point ride. My point is just when it becomes ease of access.
Yes.
If it was
right.
like that, sure, I'd be interested.
Look, think about it this way. Like, we're doing 1910 radio. Would you want to go into one of these airplane contraptions? Fly all the way from here to San Francisco. Isn't that what we're doing
yes,
here?
Yes. You could take off from Chicago and land in Detroit.
Yes.
In a matter of just under an hour.
Uh-huh.
You guys, Tracy Morgan, he's doing okay after that scary medical emergency at the Knicks game on Monday night. Turns out it was food poisoning.
That's all?
Wow.
That's what he says. That caused him to puke and then be wheeled out of the game. He shared a photo on social media of himself in the hospital, and he said, quote, "Thank you for all your concern. I'm doing okay now, and doctors say it was food poisoning. Appreciate my MSG family for taking such good care of me, and I need to shout out the crew that had to clean that up. Appreciate you." And then he did add, "More importantly, the Knicks are now 1-0 when I throw up on the court, so maybe I'll have to break it out again in the playoffs." Hashtag go Knicks. So
he's
in good spirits. Yeah. But
just don't do it at the LCA.
That's the nosebleed was an odd factor. But
yeah,
maybe
I was surprised it was only food poisoning, but glad it's all
glad
it is.
There have been a few times where I think I've probably puked hard enough to cause a nosebleed.
Oh, that sounds horrendous.
Oh yeah, just puking sounds awful.
No, not me. A suspect was taken into custody after a man was fatally shot in St. Clair Shores on Monday evening. Just before 7 p.m., deputies responded to a report that a man had been shot. When they arrived at the scene, they were met by a 24-year-old man. He was taken into custody. Deputies found the victim, identified as a 56-year-old man, was that guy's father.
Ugh.
With multiple gunshot wounds. So it was a father-son duo. Both lived together in the same home. It's unknown what led to the shooting at this point, but an investigation is underway.
Mm. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Mel Machen. Interesting idea for the Lions. Should they take the risk? It's 97.1. You guys hate going to the dentist. It doesn't have to be that way, though, with Brightside Dental. I've been there. I had to get a cavity filled there. Dr. Adam at the Southfield office made it painless. The phone number, 1-800-PAINLESS. It's spot on. There's only a little, slight little pinch. They numb you up, and then you're cruising. Ask about the $35 new patient special. It covers x-rays, exams. 9 Metro Detroit locations means there's one right around the corner from you. Southfield, Canton, Farmington, Livonia, St. Clair Shores, Trenton, and more. Check them out. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment. Just care. If he's falling, is he falling into our lap? Mel Kiper mock, we'll go through all of it, but you guys care mostly about the Lions, so we'll start there. Mel Kiper has James Pierce, pass rusher out of Tennessee, falling, tumbling to 28 where the Lions select him. Mm-hmm. John, you and I have not discussed Pierce. Mel writes about it and says that there are character concerns. There have been some people who say he's off of boards, uncoachable. There's a work ethic discussion, but the production, he was one of the best pass rushers in college football the last couple years. He's got that bend, that explosiveness, something, if you can unlock it, makes him a dominant edge rusher in the NFL. How do you feel about the Lions taking him?
So numbers tell part of the story, all right? And in 23, he had 10 sacks. Last year, 7.5 sacks, led the team. He was first team all SEC both years. So he's got a knack for getting to the quarterback. And so I when I saw this come out, I spent a little time watching some film on him. And I kind of always approach this as if I was facing him, how would I block him?
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'5", 245. So he's got decent length in regards to if you have the speed that he has, and I think he had the best 40 time of all edge rushers.
I believe you're correct.
4.7, I think is what it was.
That's blazing.
It is. And so the problem is if you only have speed. Speed can kill. There's no question about it. But if you can't go speed to power, he's got a little bit of that. But at 245, I have major concerns. Now, what makes it hard is when he goes speed to power and he extends, if he can bull rush with just one arm. That's really tough. especially if a guy has decent balance. I don't think he has good enough balance. I don't think he uses his hands well enough. Doesn't mean he can't develop those things. But if you have work ethic issues, those are things that take a ton of work, a ton of discipline, not just, hey, he needs to be 260 instead of 245. He can get there. That's no big. That's a couple of cheeseburgers and a couple of workouts.
Bulk him up, work on some technique, and he could be dominant.
Yes, he could.
But you have to have the work
ethic. And here's what, we are going on the word of Mel Kiper.
Well, actually, and we're not. It's not even Mel that'll put his name on this. It's like secondary sources, which gets really murky. Why are these reports out here? How much stock should we put into? So like a Walter Football is one of the sites that references this, that he, quote, did not interview well with teams. Another guy named Corey Kinnon, I've never heard of. He's the one that says, quote, he's seen as undeniably uncoachable. I'm not telling you these guys are wrong, but this is an ESPN, CBS, Fox lead draft guy giving you this. So it's murkier. It's a little more questionable.
Right. It's going to come down to, and I believe Brad Holmes, as we know, is going to do all the research he needs to do. Dan Campbell, all the coaches are going to talk to position coaches, high school coaches. They're going to dig deep and find out what are the actual legitimate issues. And I bring up Mel Kiper, like, how do you trust Mel Kiper? Well, Mel Kiper hasn't been in those meetings. He probably hasn't interviewed James Pierce. Maybe he's never even talked to him. So how does he's going off of sources? Then it's how reliable are these sources? So it's I'm not going to sit here and say the kid has character issues or he's got workout issues. We've both been doing this long enough and researching this that there are other agents that will leak stories about guys because they want something better for their own.
Yes.
If we can get James Pierce to fall down, then all of a sudden maybe mine's the next in line. He doesn't have the speed of a James Pierce. He doesn't have the pass rush of a James Pierce, but he's a really good guy and he works really hard. So all of a sudden it bumps him up a little bit more if you're taking down another guy. So that is where I don't know if I want to take a shot on a guy, if those issues are legitimate, because the use of hands, being able to go speed to power, but then a move off of that move, because when I watch him rush, his rushes are going to be stopped by every offensive tackle in the NFL in regards to just being able to sit, watch film, and then, you know, pass. It's all about steps. Speed isn't just going to win. It will win every once in a while, but not on a regular enough basis to be an absolute threat. It's all of the things that come along with it. And if he doesn't have the work ethic or there are character issues and he's falling to 28, I probably don't take him at that point. If those are legitimate concerns.
It's going to be in the eye of the beholder, right? Dan is going to do his research on him. And the famous line a couple years ago is no turds, right? They didn't want any turds. The culture that he has here in Detroit is something that I think he cherishes. I think that they won't compromise. I think they firmly believe in. The question would be, if the culture is as strong as we think it is it not something that you could bring someone into and improve?
So we talked about that with Jalen Carter.
And that feels like a whiff now, right?
Well, so I've talked to some in the organization at Philly, and there are some concerns and issues. The production to this point, and what we saw from him last year, and they won a Super Bowl. He was a large part of that. All right, it's a payoff. Now, when we were talking about Jalen Carter, it was Hutch in his second year. Did he have the clout? We know he's a hard worker. We know all of these things. He's a captain at Michigan, captain now with the Lions, and you, Ali McNeil kind of along those same lines, and Alex Anzalone. It was very early in the transition from where the Lions were and Dan Campbell in building this roster. They're much further along.
Yeah.
Hutch is much more established. Aleem McNeil is more established. Alex Anzalone. Jack Campbell is much more established. You even have guys on the back end in Brian Branch going into his third year that are much more established. So yes, it's easier to take a quote-unquote turd and put him in this defense or on this team.
Yeah.
And the culture can lift guys up.
Well, that's why I tend to lean more towards yeah, I'd take him at 28. But I'm not going to pound the table because I don't know how credible the character concerns are. And right. if they are glaring, bright red flags, I understand why they wouldn't take him. But if it's a yellow flag, if it's one of those like...
Oh, you get a yellow card? You were talking soccer now?
No, green light, red light. But if it's a yellow light, yeah, caution yes. light, and you're going, boy, the talent's there, man. Like, the upside is there. And I think we can bring a guy in here, screw his head on straight. I mean, let's talk about J-Mo. Were there not questions with his off-field decision-making, his drops early in his career? But Brad said, boy, that's an elite athlete from the SEC. His speed, that's God-given. With Pierce, if that explosiveness is God-given, you say, you know what, we can bring him in. We can put an arm around him. We can say, we'll get up. And you know what happens, John, in a one-on-one situation in a phone booth? Talent wins, right? That's the Jalen Carter story.
Yes. There's a math equation that has no numbers where a guy is so good that you're willing to put up with whatever it is that happens off the field and whatever, you know, it's what did we hear about Myles Garrett almost instantly after he signed that new contract? Somebody comes out and says, well, Myles Garrett's never on time and he's always showing up late. And you're supposed to be this leader. Well, you know what? Myles Garrett is so good. If he shows up 15 minutes late to a meeting and walks into the back of the room, no one's going to care. Absolutely no one will care because you know where he doesn't show up late? At the quarterback.
It's well said. Now, I'm sure you had teammates that weren't all choir boys. I mean, that's just the reality. I'm sure you had some teammates who you're like, I wish he had a better work ethic or I wish he was this or that.
Some guys are just good at football.
And Pierce in the SEC, where Brad Holmes has loved to draft high upside athletes. But Pierce was that guy. 19% pressure rate, second best in football last year. You mentioned All-American, productivity, all of it.
But going against NFL tackles is different than going against, I know SEC tackles, there's plenty of them in the NFL. There's plenty of Big Ten tackles. They're AC. I mean, you go right down the list, right? Yeah. I think there's a lot of work that he's going to have to do to have that success at the next level. And that's not rocket science, right? It's every edge defender that comes out. Yeah. There's a lot that they have to do to make that transition to the NFL. But in regards to just his strength and being able to wipe hands, you know, if I'm able to get my hands on him, is he done? Is that rush over? Right now, I kind of feel like that's the way it is with Pierce. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't improve or find ways. I'm just saying there's a lot of work in making that a possibility and making that transition. And if there are issues with him putting in the work, I don't know that he'll ever get there.
And I respect that. I respect that you've done the tape on him. I respect that Campbell could say, hey, this isn't a fit for our culture. I respect all of it. I come from a perspective of this is the biggest need on the team.
Yeah.
I'm kind of edge obsessed. I think there's a lot of Lions fans that feel that way. And if you're telling me a premier edge defender fell into my lap at 28 and I got a great culture and he's not a bad person, he just needs a little structure in his life, I'm running to the podium and making the pick and backing on the culture here.
And here's where, I'll tell you what, when we come back, okay, I'll tell you why I think it could be a great pick. I've just spent this time telling you why I think it could be a concern. Now I'm going to give you the flip. I'm going to give you the other side of that coin.
And we welcome the phone calls to Ticket Tech. Some are pouring in. What do you think, James Pierce, if he's falling because of work ethic or character concerns, is he falling for a reason or is he falling into your lap? Mel Kiper says the Lions should take him at 28. We'll give you more of Mel's mock too. It's next, 97.1.
March is crazy. And for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different sports, it's also the start of baseball. America's favorite place to watch all these great moments is Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest moments at a viewing experience absolutely built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view, no matter if you're poolside or if you're bathing. It doesn't matter. You get a great view of the screen. Located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's on Fremont Street, one of the most entertaining places in the country. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We'll go through some of the highlights of Mel's latest mock, but we're in Detroit and you care about the Lions, and it's an interesting selection. Kiper says James Pierce, pass rusher out of Tennessee. If you don't know who he is, it's all right. We're all learning in the process here. Big name after a big junior season. He had 10 sacks 2 years ago at Tennessee. This year was a little more disappointing for him, but he still had 7.5 sacks, and the pressure rate was second in college football.
And when the numbers, the ultimate number of sacks, did you actually get home and finish the deal? 7.5 versus 10 the year before, everybody's going to ask the question, well, why did the production go down? And there's some easy answers for that, right? It's some of it's opportunity. Some of it is the tackles you're going to get. Some of it's just the flow of the game.
And part of the reason people believe his production dipped was some issues with coachability, mm-hmm. work ethic, character. Now, I don't know how to substantiate them. They're not from any of the mainstream sources, but you've seen Pierce fall on some mocks, and there's clearly some whispers and concerns in league circles to the point where on talent alone, he shouldn't be there at 28.
Right.
But if he is for the Lions, do you bank on your culture? And do you take him? And I lean yes. Clearly, if there's something in his background I'm not privy to and Dan Campbell flags it, I'll trust him on it. They've built a hell of a culture here. But if it's one of those, he's kind of a knucklehead, you wrap an arm around him, you bring him in, you reel him in. I look at J-Mo, who his concern was injury coming out of college, but it's had some moments of immaturity, and it feels like the Lions reined him in and got 1,000 yards out of him. If Pierce is that superior athlete that you just need to give him some structure, yeah, I'd take him at 28, especially. I mean, John, you know that's the position I most want this team to address. It feels like a perfect marriage if you can unlock Pierce and he falls into your lap.
And so I told you I was going to tell you how I think it works.
Yeah.
And if you're just talking about the ability to come in and put in the work, I think the culture is there. It's established enough. It's a coaching staff that's been to an NFC championship game. It's a coaching staff that put together a 15-win team. And yeah, you get some new components in the coaching staff, obviously both coordinators, but on the defense, yeah, you've got a new D-line coach. You've got a lot of things going on, but the players, Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil, a vet in DJ Reader. Now you're starting to talk about guys like a Levi Onwuzurike, who has had his issues, not off the field, but injury issues. Mm-hmm. And he is another guy that can be an influential individual on if you just do the work. If you just do what you're supposed to do, this is a staff, this is an organization that will continue to support you. And so all the examples are there on the personnel side of things. But then you start looking at, you know, well, what is going to be expected of him as a rookie? 245, right? Not a big dude. He's not a Scowerton, right, out of A&M that's 285, 290. He's not going to be a three-down, four-down guy to begin with. So now all of a sudden you're looking at, well, we're trying to get him ready for 15 reps a game, 20 reps a game, because he brings something different than a Josh Pascal, who is right now opposite Aiden Hutchinson. He brings something different than a Marcus Davenport when healthy. Levi Onwuzurike, he's out on the edge as well. He's not a speed guy. None of these guys are speed guys. So now all of a sudden you throw a changeup pitch in there, mm-hmm. and you bring in this individual who can just burn off the edge. And you don't need him to have all of that technique that I talked about. Yeah. But if you believe the culture is there, that in year two, in year three, especially when Hutch is, you know, getting into that big number contract and you've got a guy that is under contract for 5 years,
yep.
and you've got that extra push off of the opposite edge, now all of a sudden Hutch's numbers, maybe he goes from 14 sacks to 17 sacks.
17, 18, pushes 20.
And you're talking about a completely different threat simply because you have a guy on the other side that is able to push around the edge, make a guy step yeah. up, and make you account for somebody else on the rush. But it really all comes down to, what do you believe? What are the interviews going to be? And I think that this, going into this year, because the culture is so ingrained and established, you don't want to waste a pick. But if you have a guy that has questionable work ethic, it's easier to put him in this bunch
yeah.
with this franchise at this time versus, and I was willing to take the chance on Jalen Carter, versus what, you know, 3 years into it.
Well, that was riskier. That was, you're talking about top 10 picks. You're talking about earlier stages of a culture. Yeah, I'm at the position I'm of the position that I would take a flyer on Pierce, assuming there's nothing glaring when they meet with him. Ticket texters. All these people said the same thing about Jalen Carter. Seems to be fine for Philly. Texter says, put a few pounds on Pierce. His size and speed are comparable to Javon Kearse. Draft the kid. Whatever's wrong, Campbell can set him straight. John in Lake Orion.
See, Javon Kearse, freak. I don't know that he's got that same length, and he certainly doesn't use it. I played against Kearse a couple of times, played against him on Monday Night Football, and there's so many things that you had to account for when you played Javon Kearse. It was speed, but it was that ability because his arms were so freaking long. His ability to go from speed to power. I don't see that yet. The potential's there, but I don't see that yet out of James Pierce.
The rest of Mel's mock, just do some rapid-fire highlights. The number one pick, he has Tennessee taking a quarterback, and it's Cam Ward out of Miami.
No surprise. Most people have that.
Well, their debate is just, do we draft our quarterback when our team's not ready to win and throw him into a really rough situation? I guess the argument to do that is C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels. If you feel like he's special, you take him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is. I think you and I have talked about some concerns. Cam Ward, turnovers, a propensity to get loose with the football. And if you throw him in a situation that's not turnkey, does it go upside down and you're in the same spot a year later? The second pick is Abdul Carter. Many people think he's the best pass rusher in the draft. The Cleveland Browns would select him.
I think most people.
Yes. Shedeur Sanders, third to the Giants. You don't like Shedeur?
Not particularly.
He's an interesting case study to me because he got sacked a ton.
And he's going to get sacked a ton if he's drafted by the Giants.
Beat up, but do you get credit for resiliency and all that and still standing in there, no run game, choppy offensive line? Or is it on him to take that many sacks and he's shell-shocked and he's not that special of a quarterback? I'm fascinated to see what teams do with him.
Yeah.
So the Giants, sure, that could get combustible if he goes there at three. Four is Travis Hunter. You might be wondering, where's Travis Hunter? Fourth to the Patriots in Mel's latest mock. No issue there. Best player on the board.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer for New England. With where they spent the money, you put him in that secondary along with, you know, what was it, Carlton Davis. I think that's a great spot for him.
Mason Graham, Michigan Wolverine, fifth to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton Jeanty, sixth to the Raiders.
I think he is really good. The question I have is, is he going to be... He doesn't have the same skill set as a Saquon Barkley in regards to him being able to catch the ball. He has some pass catching ability, and Mel talks about it. He's got some upside, but I don't know that he is as reliable as a Barkley or a Jahmyr Gibbs.
Nine is Jackson Dart, Ole Miss quarterback. I don't get that one at all.
He's flying up boards.
He is, though.
This is a combine hero.
Be very wary of combine heroes and desperate quarterback picks, because it's the Saints. That would be a desperate quarterback pick at nine.
His stock gets higher the further he gets away from playing football.
Right. That's exactly.
If you distance him from the Florida game, he looks even better. Mykel Williams, pass rusher out of Georgia, goes 10th to the Chicago Bears. We care about that because it's in the division. Mm-hmm. Some other notables. Colston Loveland, the Michigan Wolverine tight end, 14th to the Colts. Will Johnson, 16th to the Cardinals. First receiver off the board, McMillan, 20th to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Ibuka, Ohio State receiver, 23rd to the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings taking a corner. Jahdae Barron from Texas.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, the Lions are taking James Pierce.
It's interesting because you've got the upside of a James Pierce at 28. Kenneth Grant still on the board. He goes to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what they want to do. Do they, because, you know, DJ Reader, last year of his contract, older guy, still had some injury issues. Aleem McNeil, probably not going to start the season. And I know that they addressed the defensive tackle position in free agency a little bit. It'll be interesting to see what they do there. Versus trying to shore up the offensive line as well.
All right, 7 o'clock hour. We got a college basketball fast break. Some of the biggest questions and storylines. We are a day away from the madness really getting going. We will also talk about the death of spring football games. The latest from Michigan State next. It's 97.1.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.